Welcome to Life with Bethancourt, where life is always interesting.
We sold everything to live on the road full time,
despite having zero experience.
Now we bring you lessons, laughs, and stories from the road.
Buckle in for an entertaining ride. I said, I guess this is back to the beginning days when we shared a microphone.
We never shared a microphone.
We absolutely did before we had two microphones and we were like mic testing one and we were like, what if we started a podcast?
I don't remember that, but I'm afraid you're going to bop me in the face every time you go back and forth between
it's
the two of us.
It's kind of fun.
I feel like I need to take a big breath so you know I'm going to talk. I feel like you're going to kiss me when you get that close to the microphone.
Well, you guys can't see it, but we are, in fact, sharing one microphone because apparently our XLR cable is on the fritz. And I tried to just hold it in place and every other word went out. So here we are. If you could see us right now.
I need a phone. Give me your phone.
Thank God we're in a relationship. Otherwise, this would be...
I just saw you look down my shirt.
You realize that now all the times that you typically interrupt me with singing, they won't be able to hear you.
It was funny when you were trying to hold the cord in place. Does it scare you that I'm this close to you?
No, I'm trying not to stick the microphone in your lip gloss.
I feel like you're mesmerized with me, but it's just because you have to be so close to my face. Anyway, remember back in the day when we had CD players and you had to like hold the headphones in just right when the cord was going bad? That's what just happened with our Zoom. I feel like you love me so much right now.
I'm so close to your face.
Can we sit like this always?
No.
I feel like you're so in love with me.
I do love you, but my oh my, is this close?
We're going to sit like this always now.
I'm just going to get an XLR cable tomorrow, but I'll still love you. Welcome back to another episode of Life with Beth and Court. I'm Beth.
I'm Court.
And today we're talking about the five things we each didn't expect about the RV lifestyle. And here's the kicker. We haven't heard each other's items.
Ooh, it's so scandalous.
It's a live reveal, except this is pre-recorded, but it's live for us right now.
Yeah, this is like, what episode did we do before? Five things we wish we knew before we were 30?
Yes.
And we revealed them to each other?
Yeah.
Do you want to kiss me?
I'm just trying to make sure that my voice is as heard as yours.
That's what they all say, baby. That's what they all say.
She's currently caressing my face while I'm just trying to carry on. Okay. All right. So who do you want to start this thing off?
I don't know, but I will let you know I did not follow the rules and I made a list of 8 instead of 5.
Cool, Nicole.
It's in case you take mine because I get really upset when you take mine or I change my mind. So you can go first.
All right. Number one thing that I didn't expect with the RV lifestyle is that packages are a fickle bitch on the road.
That is true. That is very true.
And we thought we had it all figured out. Because we were like, don't worry, we've got this service called Traveling Mailbox and they take all of your packages and all your mail and they'll sort it and read it and send it to you and all of that. However, Traveling Mailbox is in North Carolina and we are not. And that means that even if they do accept a package there, it costs us $5 to receive it. And then we have to pay for shipping for it then to be forwarded to us wherever we are. Now, an added complication is a world pandemic. So the entire United States is using our mailing services, which means there are added delays everywhere. And if we're only staying in campsites for a week, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. And it has happened several times now where we are, 3 to 10 hours away from where our package arrived, and the campsite's like, Matt, you get 3 days, and then we're sending it back.
I feel like we did have the hang of it for a minute. It seems like everything was fine until Christmas. And then Christmas, we were like, okay, this makes sense. We understand. But then it just never got better after Christmas.
I don't know. I think the only thing we ever had a handle on was Amazon Prime.
No, I would say...
Bop you in the face.
You totally just bopped me in the face because I leaned in and you put it out.
No. And I tipped the microphone towards you. I did not put it out.
I will hold it to make sure my mouth is safe. No, I feel like because we had Plexus, we had Beachbody, and I feel like those weren't an issue until after Christmas. I will say we do currently still have Valentine's in North Carolina that we need to get somehow.
We do?
Yeah. Someone sent us a Valentine's package.
And guess what? The package the mail that we got forwarded to your mom's house got sent back. So now we have to get that resent. We also had a packet of mail that we had forwarded to us, paid for that, and it went to our old campsite, got rerouted back to our mailing service, and then we had to pay for it a second time to be routed to us. So anyway, bottom line is my number one item that I didn't expect with the RV lifestyle is that packages become so much more complicated, and I find myself gathering items like a squirrel.
I thought when like a we're squirrel in my head.
Yeah, when we're staying at campsites for 2 weeks. So right now, I have plenty of pre-workout. I'm about to order more because I know that I can get it at the campsites we'll be at for the next 2 to 4 weeks, because then after that, we're going 1 week at a time and we're traveling up the coast. And that, I'm not willing to miss my pre-workout.
Yeah. And you become a lot more aggressive when people ask if they can send you something. At least I do. When someone's like, hey, what's your address? I'm like, why? What do you need it for? Are you sending a package? Or are you sending mail? When are you going to put it in the mailbox? Because I can either give you this address or this address.
That's true. And Aaron tried to send us a Christmas package. And it legitimately, I don't know, we got it like 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
Because
it's February.
Yeah. It got routed to a campsite that we didn't end up staying at. And we had 5 packages sent to that campsite in advance because we were like, oh, we'll be there for 2 weeks. Let's send all our packages there because there's that wiggle room with the 2 week time period. We had 5 different packages sent there. We got to the campsite. We're like, ah, hell no. Mm-hmm. Turned around, left, and then had to be like, hi, could you reserve those packages that come for us and we'll come pick them up? So it got routed back from there. I asked them to just hold it where it was at the UPS store, and somehow that translated to send it back to the sender. And then she took a picture and was like, hey, your Christmas gift came back to me. And I was like, ugh. So anyway, to your point, when someone's like, well, where should I send it next? You're like, well, that depends.
Yeah.
On what day will you be running errands? And I will tell you where we will be.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm going to take the microwave. I'm going to take the microphone away from you. And my number one thing that I did not expect with the RV lifestyle was for us to be so good at it.
Really?
Yes.
You
like
bopped me in the mouth.
I'm so sorry. We are good at it. We are only 6 months in. And I would even say 4 or 5 months in, we felt like we had the hang of it. And people ask us shit. Like people ask, like we'll come into a campsite and they're like, what are those you got there under your tires?
That is quite a voice.
It was an old man. Did I sound like an old man?
I heard it. Yeah.
Okay. And they ask about our camper. They ask us about features. They ask about tips. They ask about Scarlett. Like we get all of these questions and I feel like we're doing a really good job and we mostly have the hang of it. Like we don't have the hang of when things go wrong all the way, like when things break in the camper. But other than that, as far as like hooking up, hauling, backing in, setting up.
I have a theory though. I think that we're good at it because you and I don't like being not good at things.
No, I just think we're good at it. But maybe.
I know. But the reason we got good at it so quickly is because you and I do not like the feeling of not knowing what we're doing and fumbling around.
Well, yeah. And plus you just want it to go smoothly. But I feel like for me, 4 months in, I was like, we did it. Now what?
This is truly a special experience being this close to you.
Does my breast smell?
Are you cradling my neck?
Yeah. You're really close. So I'm just holding your head up so it doesn't fall off.
I mean, I definitely know that you haven't brushed your teeth from dinner yet, but
smells like sketty. Garlic sketty.
Sounds like trauma sketty. Okay.
Hold on. We have to explain what trauma sketty is. So Beth and I recently started doing EMDR therapy through BetterHelp.com, and we somehow ended up on the same schedule. Like, we both do Tuesdays. So she does hers at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, and I do mine at 2 p.m. on Tuesdays. And we've not done EMDR therapy before, and we've heard like it can be pretty intense. And I decided I was going to make a spaghetti on Tuesdays because it was Trauma Tuesdays, and I was going to make us a Trauma Tuesday spaghetti meal as comfort food.
Because sketty is both of our
comfort foods.
Yeah, it's our comfort food from childhood. Yeah. So
it's very well thought out. You are welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyway, that's my number one. Like, we're actually really good at this. We're never doing it before.
That's a wonderful number one. My number two is more of a realization, I would say. And that is that internet reigns on high because everything depends on it. I mean, I really think about it. My workouts are on BeachbodyOnDemand.com. My podcast that I listen to in the morning, I need to download those.
You get real grouchy when you didn't download your podcast and then it interferes with your walking time.
That's very true. And I need strong internet to download the podcast so I can go on a walk and it doesn't skip and stutter. Audiobooks need the internet to download or listen to seamlessly. My entire career is online as a project manager. Life with Beth and Court is online. Counseling is online. Mm-hmm. Netflix is online. Mm-hmm. Hulu, YouTube, all the good things. Everything depends on the interwebs.
We are digital girls living in a digital world.
Is that from Barbie World?
I think it's more Madonna. Because we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl.
I'm okay with that more so than Barbie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my realization is, or my number two thing I didn't expect, is how spoiled we were with good solid internet. Mm-hmm. That, get this, only costs $65 a month.
Yeah, you want to tell them what we're paying now?
Well, right now, we have tried a variety of different things. We currently have three things that keep us online. One of which I didn't expect, actually, is tethering our phones. Even the low-speed data through AT&T actually powers us,
faster,
I think,
faster than Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I think it does a very good job, too. So we tried Nomad. Nomad
is a no. No man, Nomad. Don't do it.
Nomad was a very confusing relationship.
Let's tell them a story, and you tell us if you think this sounds legal. Go. Make it the short version.
Well, I will just say this. Nomad said you get truly untethered high-speed internet. And I said, I need to clarify this, though, because I really, really need lots of high-speed data, and I need this to not be a fine print thing. Are you sure that we get unlimited high-speed data? And they said, yeah, up to, like, basically, like, 800 to 900 gigabytes a month. And on average, I would say that, not I would say, but a stat I read said that an American family will use between 200 and 300 gigabytes of high-speed internet a month. So I was like, well, 800 to 900 will be plenty. And so we did that, and it was beautiful. It worked wonderfully. We bought the AT&T plan, so it bounced off the same AT&T towers and worked great. And then all of a sudden, our SIM card stopped working, and I contacted support, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's a bad batch of SIM cards that went out. Let us replace that for you. Took a month. And as I just mentioned, literally everything is online. So we had to buy Skyroam in between. And so we tried Skyroam. It does bounce off of towers. There's like a signal scan on it, and you can scan for the strongest signal around. Anyway, it didn't really do the job, I would say, when we first got it. But we had this odd, we would tether to our phones, and then we would use Skyroam. And then occasionally we would just get in the truck because our truck has Wi-Fi. So we would sit in our truck and work for hours in the truck.
That was the Alabama crash where we literally had to work out of our truck for an entire week. And then the internet would shut off when the truck would shut off. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to like restart it.
It has to be, the truck has to be on for the truck internet to be working. So then we ended up getting our Nomad working again. They gave us a new SIM card. Then about 3 weeks after it started working again, it crashed once again. And I said, hey, what's happening now? Because I'm getting the same errors. And they're like, oh, yeah, it went bad. We'll send you another one. I'm like, why do your SIM cards keep going bad? Like, is this not legal? And they're like, no, it has to do with the bombing at Christmas time in Nashville. It hit one of the AT&T towers, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, fair enough. I'll give that one to you. And then they were sending us the replacement card. And they're like, actually, we're going to have to, like, send you a whole new device because the company no longer authorizes you to us to use the Netgear.
Because you illegal.
Yeah, so basically, third strike. I was like, why does everything keep getting shut down? Like, did AT&T just find out that you're using their towers or something? So anyway, bottom line is, it was incredible when it worked, but the SIM cards kept going bad. They kept having to send it to us, leaving us without internet. We had to buy Skyroam in the meantime. Skyroam, actually, in this location, has done great. Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful. Our AT&T phones tether great. And then just recently, our high-speed option with lots of gigabytes is Cricket. We got a Cricket SIM card and we put it in the Netgear that we got from Nomad originally, and that is great. It works wonderful. It actually is owned by AT&T, but it bounces off its own towers, not AT&T towers, so it doesn't get overcrowded on those towers. But we buy 100 gigabytes for $90 a month. And then on top of that, Skyroam's another $50, but that's only 20 gigabytes of high speed and then unlimited low speed data. And then our phones, of course, we've got a very limited, I don't know how much high speed we have, but then we tether with low speed. Bottom line is, at a minimum, we're spending $150 a month. And last month we bought probably another $60 to $100 in high speed data from Cricket. A lot of monies.
I zoned out. You started to sound like an IT person.
Yeah, it's weird because I wouldn't have known any of that before, except my entire life, as I just mentioned,
is on the internet
now. All right. Realization number two for you.
Number two that I did not expect to happen living on the road full time was for me to question my entire existence.
Oh.
And so technically, I will tie in my number two and three together. So that was number two. And then number three was, I was not expecting so much shit that I learned from my childhood in school to like resurface as we were visiting other places. So let me just take the microphone and tell you about this. So basically, as you're traveling into different places, you're learning about the culture and the history of the locations. And we learned about it when we were kids, but it's interesting because Beth Ann and I were talking about how it doesn't matter when you're a kid. Like, you don't care. Like, no one cares about, you know, whatever, like Washington, D.C. or the Trail of Tears or like all of these things that you learned about. And it's so different to experience those things when you're an adult and really dig in and say, well, why did it happen like this? And wait, that's not what the textbook said. And there have been multiple instances where we're like, wait, this is what we were taught. Like, this is what we read in a textbook. But now we're reading like the actual story that's documented of where we're visiting. And it's very different. And so we've had many conversations of one, it's so much more fascinating as an adult and as an early childhood major. I can tell you, you should never teach children things that they can't be tangible with. Like, they, if they can't visit the monuments or they can't see the animals at the zoo, like, we should not teach children about dinosaurs because dinosaurs are no longer around. So there's no experience to like make it real and bring value unless you take them to the dinosaur museum that we went to.
That thing was awesome.
So I was not expecting to like relearn everything as an adult. And now as an adult, I actually find it really fascinating and I'm very interested.
Yeah. And I would also say though, that we, as adults, when you're learning about it, we have so many more perspectives that we can mm-hmm. have now. Like we don't just get like the white man's version of the history of the United States. Now as an adult, you're like, oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that these people wrote the history books with their own narrative? Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that they made this guy a hero and this person a villain, and it actually wasn't like that at all? So it's interesting because now you can learn with more perspective than just what we read in those history books.
Yeah. So that is like number three. And going back to like questioning my existence, we went to a dinosaur museum and it was lovely. And floor one was dinosaurs. And they were talking about like the meteorites and the asteroids and like, you know, that they wiped out the dinosaurs. And we're like, well, how do we know that that's what happened? And so we started learning about the science of like that, and then earthquakes and tectonic plate shifting. And I was like, I feel like a speck. Like, mm-hmm. what have I done with my life? And then we started learning about other cultures. Like, we went upstairs to the mummy level and we started learning.
Yeah, you were like a little child in the candy store up there.
I totally forgot I was obsessed with Egyptian culture until I walked out on that floor. And Beth was like, really? And I was like, yes, I was obsessed with Egypt. I wanted to be Cleopatra so very badly. And it's just so fascinating, like learning about other cultures and like just their burial routine, like what they would do when someone would die. Like, they would be so detailed, and you know, they had this whole routine of like embalming them and wrapping them to preserve them and putting their organs into jars and then floating them down a river and giving them a ceremony.
It seemed like a lot of work, to be honest.
It did, but like, that was sacred to them, that they literally would take you down a boat to the afterlife. And then I start questioning, like, wait,
why you haven't gone down a boat to the afterlife?
Well, no. Oh. But like, I just start thinking about like, there are so many pockets of culture that I know nothing about, or I know a fraction about. And here I am living in the United States, and like, you know, I've only explored my religion of what I believe, and like, there's so many other things out there. So really, it takes you down a deep, deep rabbit hole fast.
Well, I think it's very interesting to be having all these realizations and kind of questioning moments about all of these things that we've known to be these pillars of truth in our childhood, and to do it by ourselves, because hashtag COVID. So we are not with other people, and so you kind of end up in this like, what is our existence? And then you just go in this like circular thing, and there's no other humans around you to be like, hey, snap out of it.
Yeah. And at one point we were discussing like, how do we know dinosaur faces were mean? Like, how do we know they look so angry? Like, they could have been very adorable for all we know. All we found of dinosaurs were bones, and then we decided what their skin was like and what their facial structure was like. I need to be done with this because I'm already going down the rabbit hole again.
Well, we discussed, we were like, I mean, yeah, when you pose the dinosaur like that, of course he looks like a mean killer with lots of teeth. But you know what? Dogs have lots of sharp teeth too, and they're adorable.
And why are their mouths always hanging open?
Well, and that's when I was starting to wonder, could they not close their mouths? Are there too many teeth? Do they have lips that covered? Like, dogs can like unbare their teeth. Could dinosaurs?
We had so many questions. So anyway, to summarize that, I didn't expect to like have so many things that I learned as a kid in school resurface and like have such an interest, and then, you know, question my entire existence and all the other cultures and dinosaurs and asteroids.
Like we do with Gratefuls. I'd like to star that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
you should explain what that means.
Sorry if Courtney sounds like she's fading in and out of the background. So every time she decides she has something else to say, we have to like lean back into each other. So when we're doing Gratefuls at night, if we agree with someone else's grateful, with the other person's grateful, we'll just say, I star that grateful. So I'm going to star that unexpected outcome of this lifestyle. Number three for me is kind of goes with number two of yours, I think.
It was two and three for me. So it's three.
That was so terrible, but it actually just made me laugh quite a bit. I don't know which one it was, but my number three is set up, tear down, and travel days become rituals. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time when you think about like, okay, we're going to have to empty the tanks and fill the tank and take the poop hoses out and take the freshwater hoses out and pack everything up and pack up the rug and tear down the clam hut. And like, there's all these different things that you have to do to get ready to leave. And then you leave and wherever you're traveling to, 1 to 3 hours away, 1 to 4 hours away. And then you get there and you have to do all of it in reverse. You have to set the clam hut up and you have to plug in the electric and you have to plug in the hose and all these different things that you have to do. And then you're like, oh, well, there was a nice 7 hours of my Saturday. But I will say that with everything changing around us as much as it is, it's kind of nice. Like the breakdown, setup, travel days kind of become routines that are familiar and you can look forward to.
I would say I actually enjoy it for the opposite reason. Shocker that we're saying the same thing, but taking different things away from it. I like that we change it every couple of weeks. So I think about sometimes when I'm like packing up the camper and we're hooking up, I'm like, what would we be doing right now? Like if we didn't have to move our home every couple of weeks, like what would we be doing? And I'm like, would we be like watching TV? Would we be
swearing at each other in Skippo?
Would we be swearing at each other in Skippo? Like, I just think it's really cool that it's something I look forward to because I'm like, yeah, we do this routine and I will like star yours and then like add a slash next to it. I wasn't expecting for us to love the travel days so much. Like we love packing up because it means we're on to the next thing and we're looking forward to it. So when I pack up, I'm usually like, what else? Like if we were back home right now and it was 10 a.m. on a Sunday, like what would we be doing? We'd probably be like watching something on TV, like church or, you know, making breakfast or whatever. Like, I just like that it's different now and it's something to look forward to in that way.
What is your number three?
Well, I turned three into tree, so let me see what I got here. Oh, okay. So it's actually number five, but it will be number four. I was not expecting for there to be so many different rules at campsites.
Oh, interesting. Say more.
Like I totally, well, we knew nothing about camping or campgrounds anyway, but I guess once we started the journey, I just expected it was all the same. Like you check in, you find your campsite, and you know, I thought like the package rules would be the same. Mm. And I think we mentioned that in an earlier podcast episode, so I won't go into detail, but I was scolded for touching mail when I thought the rule was you just went and got your own mail.
That was actually at this campsite.
Yeah.
And we're back here again. I would say that, especially because we go to so many campsites within the same network. We're in the same network. And so you'd think like, oh, well, they're all part of this entity. So they must have similar rules or whatever. And then it's like even fire. Mm-hmm. We just assumed that you'd be able to have a campfire at every campsite. But some campsites, for instance, the rules we've seen, the one we're at now, it has to be covered. There was one before this that said no wood burning fires. It had to be a propane fire. There was one before that that said it can't be a fire on the ground. It has to be in a lifted container and also have a cover on it. So there's all these rules. And then there's some that are just like, absolutely not. No fires. Mm-hmm. And that to me felt very bizarre because you're camping. But I also understand that they have high winds and are worried about, you know, catching forests on fire and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say the campfire is a big one. And also, like when we got here, all of a sudden they were like, oh, we don't take mail anymore. And we're like, what do you mean? They're like, we don't accept mail, only packages. And last time we were here, you could get mail no problem. So that's a big one.
And when we asked when that rule had changed, they said, oh, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, thank God I didn't have anything forwarded. I wouldn't have known. And then they would have sent it back.
Yeah. So the mail, the campfires, and then the other big one sounds silly, but the laundry facilities. So in one laundry facility, like the first one we went to, I think it was cash. And so I was like, okay, like we have to have quarters, like coin laundry, like back in the dorms, got it. So then we stocked up on quarters because I was like, okay, like now we know what we need to do. And the next one was Aladdin tokens. And you could only get Aladdin tokens with dollars cash, not quarters cash. And I was like, well, shit. And then the one after that was like a credit card only one. And so it sounds crazy, but it just changes from site to site, so you never know what to expect.
And then there was that one in between that you had to buy a card for $5 and then fill it, and the minimum fill was $10. And I was like, we're only here for a week, and I've never seen this anywhere else. So you're telling me that one load of laundry is going to cost me $15? I'll just keep it.
Yeah. So we've learned to start asking those questions. Like, I called our next campsite and I'm like, hi, weird question. Are you accepting packages? Oh, that's another thing. Some sites or some campgrounds, when you do get packages, you have to put your site number because they will deliver the packages directly to you. And we actually had a package returned because we didn't have our site number on it. And then other ones, you don't have to put your site number because it goes to the office. So I was not expecting like everyone to have so many individual rules. And so you really do, like, if you're the person that does not like to read the handout they give you, you do not have a choice. Like, you actually have to read it so you know what's going on.
In one site, I do remember they were adamant that you had a high water pressure regulator on your drinking water hose so that it wouldn't burst the hoses. And they were like, where's your high water regulator? And I was like, oh, it's on it. And that was the site where she's like, you got it on the wrong end. And I was like, oh, whoops. Yeah, so that was theirs. They said no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We sell it in the shop up by the office. If you don't have one, you must have it on in order to stay in our campsite. So yes, I would also star that. It is crazy how many different rules there are at different campgrounds.
Basically, I had all the good ones if you're starring mine.
Okay. Number four for me that you may choose to star, and we still are not used to this one. The fourth thing that I wasn't expecting with the RV lifestyle is just how important weather is.
Oh my gosh, yes. I didn't even think about it because I still don't think about weather.
Right. So even after being slapped in the face by this one multiple times, we still forget to check the weather all the time. We will be checking it after this because I need to know if I need to put up all the panels on the clam hut. But yeah, so we are from the Midwest. And our forecasts usually just say, like, snow or not snow. And turns out, in other areas of the country, they have forecasts that include other things besides snow that become exponentially more important when you live in a small tin box. Yeah. So, you know, things like, I don't know, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes. We haven't come across any hurricanes.
Wind has been a huge one. Like, the wind levels at the sites we've stayed at, I'm like, what's that sound? What's coming down the road? What is that?
But again, that is because we are from the Midwest, and just like our tempers, our weather seems to be rather mild because we were like in 20 mile an hour wind in southern Florida, and we're like, whoa!
This is how we know something is about to happen with the weather. Not because we are responsible adults and we check the app. We will go for a walk and we will see everyone around us like shoving things under a canopy and like buttoning down the hatches and like pulling their awning stakes into the ground. And like, you see the scurry and we're like, oh shit, something's coming.
And also, we're just like, anytime wind picks up past 6 miles an hour, we're like, it's a hurricane. And they're like, it's not hurricane season. We're like, oh, okay. Just a thunderstorm? Okay. Yeah, they're intense down here. So anyway, we need to start checking the weather more frequently.
We've been saying that for a very long time and we still do not.
Right. I will do it right after this podcast. So that was my number four.
I will star that hardcore. Like, that might be the number one thing, actually. So it's me, number five. Okay. I am weeding out mentally the ones I didn't actually want to talk about. Okay. Number five, I did not expect for me personally to slow down so much. With this lifestyle, it is very chill. And I think that I have had a lot of opportunities to do things in a very slow and relaxed state that I would not have been able to do back home. So even things just like cooking, like, here's the thing. When you're in a small space, things can get really crowded very quickly. And so when one's trying to do the dishes and one's trying to cook, like, you could have an explosion very quickly. So you almost have to, in my mind, slow down. and just take a breath and take a pause and be like, okay, instead of this experience being awful and frustrating, like, I'm just going to make it a positive one. So I actually love cooking now. I turn on Italian cooking music and I pour myself a glass of fake wine or like my cherry juice in a wine glass, and I just make it a full experience, and I slow down, and I'm not rushing and frustrated and pissed off. And, you know, I just realized back home, like, I was so, so stuck in the 9-to-5 mindset. So that's another piece of why I've been able to slow down, is because I'm working for our business full time and I have more flexibility. But I would even argue before that transition happened, there's just something about this lifestyle. Like, you walk around the campsite and no one's freaking out unless weather's coming that we didn't know about. But like, people are laughing and they're sitting out in a chair, like, just chilling and relaxing. I saw someone read a book and I was like, wow, I can do that. Like, reading a book must be nice.
I remember the first time we saw a man just sitting in a chair and we were unhooking the trailer and we went inside to check if it was level. And I was like, do you see the man? He's just sitting there. You think he's okay?
He, like, would do that for like hours.
I know. He had no phone. He had no book, no newspaper, no nothing, no headphones. He's just sitting there. And then we would look at him out the window and be like, what do you think he's thinking about?
He said that a lot.
Yeah. So it is interesting to see how many people just chill, or like, you know, even watching your neighbors, like, you know which neighbors like go for a bike ride every morning, or which neighbors walk, or there's a lot of people who have dogs. And so who's walking their dogs in the morning? And there's some people who run, or I see other fellow online workout people when I can see they've got a device set up and they're warming up and they're doing workouts outside. So it's cool because you kind of get used to everyone's morning routines. And so you see a lot of people outside doing relaxing things.
It's a very different lifestyle. It's very lax. It's very chill. And I'm grateful that I've been able to sink into that a little bit, because I am high energy by nature. So it's been...
You are?
Yes. It's been really good for me to just slow down. And I wish more people could experience this lifestyle. I wish people could just sit outside for 10 minutes in the sun and like watch everyone be chill and just have time. So that was not what I was expecting. I think I expected it to be more chaotic and more frantic. But going back to my number one of like, we're actually doing a good job and we figured it out, so there's not a lot to stress about.
I also think that that's a little bit of the life that we crafted this lifestyle to be, because I think that this lifestyle isn't naturally a stress-free lifestyle. You have to check on so much more regularly. But I think that once you get in your routine, and like, for instance, you did get out of the 9-to-5, and we are crafting our days to look how we want our days to look. All right, my fifth and final, wasn't expecting this in the RV lifestyle, is you spend about 85% of your spare time doing dishes.
Yeah, you're not wrong about it.
I mean, I do our dishes, so I guess it's 85% of my spare time is spent doing the dishes. Another 10% is spent emptying the shit tank. And then there's about 5% that we get to do whatever we want.
To be clear, you do the dishes because I do all the cooking, and that's the rule. And sometimes I do the dishes and then you tell me I did the dishes wrong because apparently there's still oil or something on them, and then you choose to rewash the dishes.
In my defense, you once said, what do you mean I have to wash the bottom of the plate?
No. So I will say, why is the microphone so wet? I feel very uncomfortable.
I'm literally not even on that side of the microphone. You cannot blame that on me. That's your own lips.
Oh, okay. So
it's true. That's your side of the microphone. Okay. This sharing of microphones got to stop. I'm going to the store tomorrow to find a cord.
I will say, when you live in a tiny, tiny space. So Beth's sister just got an apartment, which is really exciting, her and her boyfriend. And she was like, oh, one thing we didn't notice till after we signed was there's no dishwasher. And we're like, oh, no big deal. Like, you get used to it. Like, we had a dishwasher at home and now you wash them by hand. Oddly enough, same thing about the laundry. Like, they have a laundry room in their complex. We're like, we got used to that too. So it really is about just adapting. However, when you live in such a small space, like, you can't just, oh, I'll get the dishes tomorrow. Or you can't just, like, let them pile up in the sink because the sink is tiny. Like, you just have to do the dishes.
Yeah, it almost is like each piece becomes, like, when we had our own washer and dryer, I feel like doing the laundry is just like a nuisance where you're like, oh, I got to do the laundry. And it's so convenient to actually get it done that the chore itself is an inconvenience. Whereas now, you don't always have the opportunity to get it done and you have to make a bigger effort about it. So then it doesn't become a chore. It's more of a like ritual almost, like where it's like a routine where you're like, oh, we finally, you know, have the right coins or Aladdin tokens or whatever to do our laundry. Yes, we finally get to do laundry. It's like a get to. Yeah. We get to do laundry. We get to fold it and restock our shelves. And yeah. Again, like with the laundry, I mean, you can only throw in like half a bin and then you're like, all right, I'm out of underwear. We got to do laundry.
Yeah, that. Oh, shit. I just remembered the one that I actually thought of when we started this topic. So I will be sharing that quickly after this. That's a really interesting way to look at it that I have never thought of, but you're right, because when we got to this location and we were picking our campsite, I literally said, I want that one because it's closest to the laundry room. And we were so excited. I was like, can you believe I was just like making soup and I could run over really quickly and start our laundry and like come back? Like, it is really just a mindset shift.
And it becomes like a privilege where you're like, how wonderful. I could cook dinner and do laundry at the same time.
Yeah. So if you are bitter about your dishes and laundry, just move into a camper. But, okay, so I already did my 5. So this will be my 0, which is actually the most shocking and important. And I forgot about it. I did not expect, like, this was the biggest shock to me with this lifestyle, to still get rid of things.
Yeah, like I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, I can't wait to go through this bad boy and just like purge everything and get rid of dishes and clothes and books and like food. Why haven't we finished off these hydration packets? Let's get rid of these. Let's drink them.
Isn't it so weird? Like, we literally condensed from a 3-bedroom house, full basement, got rid of all of our stuff and the garage. There was so much stuff in the garage. So I thought I would actually have like scarcity mindset of like, we have to keep everything we have. I have given away 2 boxes of clothes, like 2 full boxes of clothes since we've lived in the camper. And there have been things I'm like, why do we have this? Let's get rid of it. Like, do we really use this? Let's minimize. So I was not expecting that at all.
I've asked her that about the box of Halloween decorations and she wasn't willing to part with those.
Yeah, those won't be going away anytime soon. But it's just so bizarre because I expected like we would want to hold on to everything we had. And no, we both are like, we need to go through and like get rid of like our coffee mugs. I was like, we don't need this many coffee mugs. So it's almost like once you're living the minimalist lifestyle, it becomes so glaringly obvious when you have too much shit.
And it becomes addicting. You just want to keep giving things away. And then you're like, do I really need this? Because it's just like more to store and more to fix and more to keep clean and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, I would agree with that one.
Big star. The 0 is the winner. Is it the weather or that one?
I would say yours over weather.
Yeah, I win. Thank you.
Okay. Well, there's a combined 10, but actually 17, because Courtney never plays by the rules. Things that we weren't expecting with the RV lifestyle. Hopefully, it's given you a bit of a glance into what our life is like on the road. We like opening it up, as we always say, so that you can see fully into our lives and not just the glamorous curated feeds in social.
I'm going to pretend to be you. Like we said, we hope this episode was helpful. Take what's helpful and leave the rest. And you can follow us over on any of our social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, our private membership. That's not what you usually say. And you can catch the show notes over on lifewithbethandcourt.com. Until then, keep building your best life.
You're not that good at being me. I think I have to actually tell them the right way now. You can follow us over on any of our social You can follow us over on any of our social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, at Life with Beth and Court. You can also catch the show notes over at lifewithbethandcourt.com. As we always say, take what's helpful, leave the rest. I haven't said that since the first season, so it feels a little funny to say as we always say, but we did used to say it and we're bringing it back. Take what's helpful, leave the rest, and we can't wait to catch up with you in another 2 weeks. Until then, keep building your best life.
Bye, guys.